Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
Turn with me this morning to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, verse 26. This morning's sermon is entitled Barriers and Barnabas. And I'm like, I wonder if that'll stir any curiosity. Barriers and Barnabas. Barriers. Have you ever run into a barrier before in your life as you're turning to Acts chapter 9, verse 26? Have you ever run into an obstacle that prevented you from being able to accomplish a task or reach a certain destination? You know what I'm talking about? A barrier that kept you from getting to where you are, or from where you are to where you want to be. It was a hot summer night. A hot summer night in Phoenix, Arizona. In Scottsdale, Arizona. Pastor Vicki and I were heading to a bed and breakfast to catch up on a little bit of sleep before our flight back home to Ohio, because we had taken a trip to Arizona and we were ready to get home, and we were hot, we were tired, we were homesick to see our boys. The GPS was guiding us on the 101 loop out in Scottsdale, if you're familiar with Arizona, on the east side there, right on the edge of the desert. It told us two more turns, just two more turns, and we would be to our destination. But the GPS, it failed to take into consideration this large earthen barrier that lied in the middle of the road and kind of split the neighborhood in half. It's kind of like this barrier right here that splits the neighborhood in half that goes up along here, along Longview. You know what I'm talking about? And the GPS said you could go through there, but in reality, we couldn't. We could see our destination, but we couldn't get there. And we were tired. So we had to turn around and we had to travel two or three more miles to get to the place where we could turn. And it was like a 6 or 7 mile journey just to get back to that exact same point on the other side of the barrier. It was dark. We'd been driving for hours. We were tired. It was frustrating. We'd come so far. We were so close to that bed. And we had more driving to do. It was inconvenient. We grumbled. Well, I grumbled. Pastor Vicki just was like, oh, it'll be great. Because if you know us well enough by now, you know how that works. I grumbled. Pastor Vicki was just like, it's going to be okay. Calm down. It's going to be okay. Barriers. Barriers make it difficult to get where we're going. They get in the way. They create complications. They put the mission or the journey at risk, because there are obstacles that jump out in front of us. And that's really the point of what I want to talk to you about this morning. Okay, when we boil it all down, what can we do? What can we do to make it easier for people to get to know Jesus in our church? Pretty simple topic this morning. What can we do to make it easier for people to get to know Jesus at Maplewood? So we're continuing this study of Acts chapter 9, and over the past couple of weeks we've looked at this this story, and it's the story of how Saul, who became Paul, it's the story about how Saul came to know Jesus as his personal Savior. And this is a pretty important conversion, because Saul, was very influential in the formation and the growth of the early church. And last week we read about how Ananias, remember Ananias last week, his 15 minutes of fame? Because he had had his devotions. We read about how Ananias helped restore Saul's eyesight and how Ananias baptized Saul as a new Christian. So Saul's this convert. He had grown up as a Jew. He was breathing murderous threats. And suddenly has this encounter with Jesus, and Jesus totally changes the direction that he's taken in his life. And so Saul's this young person of faith. He's got this growing relationship with Jesus. And the Christians in Damascus are looking at Saul, who's now professing to be a Christian, and they're like you and me. If somebody was trying to kill you this week and then they came in and they said, I've got saved, you would kind of look at them with the skeptical eyeball, right? And so the Christians in Damascus were skeptical of Saul's newfound faith in Jesus. And then, so here's Saul, you know, he's got, the people in the church are skeptical of him and don't trust him. And then his old friends, his old Jewish friends in the temple, they want to kill him. So he's like running for his life. He has nowhere to go in this situation. So this week we find Saul sneaking out of Damascus and heading back to Jerusalem. So he's heading back to Jerusalem, which is the headquarters of the church. And that's kind of where we pick up the story this morning in Acts chapter 9, verse 26. It says, when Saul came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was really a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them at the church in Jerusalem, and he moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. So as we look at this narrative this morning, as we look at this little story, it really does make me think about barriers we put up in our church. Barriers that we erect in the church that prevent people, especially new believers, but not just new believers, but they're barriers that prevent people from growing in their relationship with Jesus. That's kind of what I want to talk about today. Sometimes we put these barriers up intentionally, and sometimes we put them up unintentionally, and they have unintended consequences. So one of the biggest barriers I think that we put up in the church this morning as we look at this, one of the biggest barriers we put up in the church is our expectations of new converts, new believers, which are driven by what I call our churchy culture. We have a churchy culture, right? Our church culture can become just like that barrier that Pastor Vicky and I ran into out in Arizona. We're so close, we can see the destination. I can see what it's all about. I can see the light in the bedroom that I'm supposed to be sleeping in. I'm 100 yards away, but I can't get there because there's a barrier in my way. And sometimes our church culture can become that barrier for other people. We need to be careful, folks, that we're not erecting barriers for people seeking Jesus by setting unrealistic expectations for them. It's because Maplewood, God's moving through Maplewood right now. I don't know if you could tell. But we got people coming to the Lord. We got people growing and coming to a decision of Jesus. And we've got to be careful that we don't become barriers to them coming to know Christ because of the unrealistic expectations we've set up based on our churchy culture. And believe it or not, Maplewood has a churchy culture. We're a church. It's who we are. It's what we do. But we got to make sure it's not a bad thing, but we got to make sure it doesn't become a bad thing. Our expectations are sometimes way too high. Our expectations are way too high for a new believer or somebody who's coming into wanting to believe in Jesus. Way too high for new Christians and for people seeking this personal relationship with Him. And our heads, these are the types of thoughts that happen in your head and my head that can create this earthen barrier that keeps people from getting to Jesus. We'll say, well, they don't behave the way a Christian should behave. You know? They don't talk the way a good Christian should talk. They don't believe the way a good Christian should believe. I can't believe they believe that way. Well, they don't know. They don't dress the way a good Christian should dress. As a matter of fact, I've heard probably people out there saying, Pastor, you don't dress like a pastor. I think I've worn a tie once, Bill. They don't listen to music that a good Christian should listen to. They don't understand the doctrine that a good Christian should understand. In other words, folks, we have those thoughts in our minds sometimes. We have those thoughts that creep in. And they may start as innocent, but they become really real. And then they make it really hard for people seeking Jesus to reach Him when we set these unrealistic expectations. In other words, we make it hard for people to feel like they fit in, like they belong, and like they can grow in their search for who Jesus is. We have to be careful. You see the church in Jerusalem doing this to Saul in this passage? Do you see it? It says they were afraid. They were afraid of Saul. So the 12 apostles, you know, Jesus' disciples who were there at the church in Jerusalem, they had not been scattered yet. This was like the Justice League, the superheroes of faith at that time. And they're gathered in Jerusalem, and here is Saul coming in, and they're afraid of him. You know, they're afraid based on his past. They didn't believe he was really converted. They didn't believe he was really a disciple of Jesus. They're like saying, you're going to pull a fast one on us, aren't you? You're going to come to church on Sunday, and then all of a sudden we're going to be worshiping, and the temple guards are going to be coming in arresting all of us. We know your game, Saul. We know how this is going to go. We don't trust you. Their skepticism about him and his experience was getting in the way of him being able to grow in his relationship with Jesus. In other words, translation this morning, their unrealistic expectations that they had, their unrealistic expectations created a judgmental attitude, whether they intended it or not. And that judgmental attitude made it really difficult for Saul to assimilate into the body of Christ. It was a barrier that even the core leaders of the church at that time had erected and made that got in the way of Saul's relationship with Jesus. Our unrealistic expectations can transform into judgmental attitudes that become barriers to people getting to know Jesus better. Most of the expectations we put on new Christians, by the way, that, you know, if we look at our set of rules in Maplewood, most of the expectations that we put on new Christians, they're not even biblical. They're not even in the Bible. They're a part of the modern church culture. It's what we've grown accustomed to, right? It's what we like and prefer. It's just the way it's always done around here, Pastor. Guess what? When you say, it's just the way we've always done it around here, Pastor, that's code for churchy culture. The way we've done things around here, that's code for this churchy culture that becomes this barrier. In many ways, we've made our churchy culture and our non-biblical expectation that we have of people, we've made them our idols. We're more concerned about people behaving the way they should behave and doing things they should do. We make that a bigger deal than we do worshiping Jesus. Amen? We have to be careful of putting up unintentional barriers. We have to be careful of those barriers that we put up for people who are seeking an authentic, life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Even here at Maplewood, even in here, our family environment at church where everybody knows each other, we have to be especially careful because we can create a bubble that makes it hard for people to get into and stick and hang on to. The disciples were afraid of Saul, so they excluded him. It says it right there in verse 26. They didn't believe he was a true believer. They thought he was faking it so he could infiltrate the group and betray them. Real fear. They had these real fears about Saul. And real fear in the people of the church was blocking Saul's spiritual growth. That's kind of sobering, isn't it? That our attitudes and our fears about people that are in the church can get in the way of them getting to know Jesus. That's a sobering thought this morning. Their fears became a barrier. So my question this morning is, what's the path forward for Saul? What's the path forward for this poor guy? He's just met Jesus. He's trying to become part of the body, and yet they're afraid to bring him in. They're afraid to include him. Sometimes our churchy culture is so entrenched, people in the church can't help themselves, and they couldn't help themselves. Saul's spiritual journey was, his spiritual journey was potentially in peril because of unrealistic expectations and judgmental attitudes that were being brought forth by the church. He's facing barriers. He's in need of assistance. He's in need of assistance. He's in need of, don't miss this morning, he's in need of an advocate within the church. He needs someone to be on his side in the church as he's growing into this new relationship with Jesus. He needs someone who will speak up for him among the other believers and say, hey, his testimony's real and authentic. I've seen it with my own eyes. You guys can trust him. He needed somebody to speak up on his behalf within the church. He needed somebody in the church who would vouch for him. He needed someone to educate him in the ways of this new faith culture, because he had been brought up one way and now he's being introduced into all these new things and this new doctrine, this new belief through Jesus Christ. And he needed somebody to come alongside with him and help educate him in the new ways, to nurture him and to answer his questions and to just be there for him as he's like figuring it out along on this journey, this new faith journey that he's on. He needed someone who would just sit with him at church fellowships. He just, you know, he was new and he just needed somebody. He didn't want to be the guy in the corner at the church fellowship sitting by himself because nobody knew if he was the real deal or not. They were scared of him. He just needed somebody to be brave enough in the junior high cafeteria to get up and approach him and sit down and put their tray down there and eat with him at a church fellowship. He needed someone who would just invite him over to hang out, to get to know him. He needed somebody. He needed someone in the church who would sponsor him, so to speak. Not saying in an official sense of the word, but he needed somebody to sponsor him and to advocate for him. And in this story, we see Saul dealing with all these pressures from the church, and in steps Barnabas. In steps Barnabas. Not Barabbas, that's a different story. In steps Barnabas. Barnabas, now if you look at Barnabas' story here, I want you to think about this, okay? Barnabas did not convert Saul. He was not involved in his conversion. That was Ananias' job. Ananias brought Saul to Jesus and baptized him. We read about that last week. Barnabas didn't convert Saul, but he was really an important part of Saul's spiritual journey into coming to know and develop this relationship with Jesus. Barnabas, in effect, in these short verses that we are reading here this morning, Barnabas becomes Saul's sponsor. He becomes his sponsor. He becomes his advocate amongst the apostles. Saul needed someone to be on his side in this new day. The apostles knew Saul as the one who had authorized Stephen's execution. Their close brother and friend Stephen, who was a part of their congregation, Saul ordered his execution. And here he is now coming to church on Sunday. Zoinks. To quote that great theologian Shaggy from Scooby-Doo. Here he is. The apostles had to think about this. Think about the dynamics of what are going on in the church. At this point in time, the guy that had authorized the execution of one of the members of the church is now here saved and converted. The apostles, the church at that time, they had to go into the well and they had to dig deep to find the ability and the grace to forgive Saul for what he had been. They had to go kind of probably go and pray about it, you know, because what happens, folks, when people that we find in their sinfulness as adversaries in our lives, what happens when they get saved? Are we going to be willing to forgive them like Jesus has forgiven them and welcome them with open arms into the family? The apostles had to find it within themselves to extend deep forgiveness to Saul. It took time to restore that relationship. And I think it took a little bit of time for that to get going. I'm certain that there was mistrust and misgiving about Saul over time in the church. It just took time to heal that relationship and forgiveness to really be rooted. But in the meantime, as they were trying to come to the point of forgiving him over time, here's Saul, and he needed to be discipled. He couldn't wait until they were at a point where, okay, I'm ready to accept you. He was in need. While they were trying to figure out how they could come to themselves and forgive him, he was a person, this new convert in Christ. He needed somebody to come alongside him. He needed somebody to come alongside and disciple him. He needed somebody to come alongside to bring him along in his faith, to advocate for him in this hostile environment. And I'm telling you, folks, if you come into church and you're a new believer in Jesus, if you've been here for a long time, you don't get it. But if you're a new believer, if you're pursuing Jesus or you're new in any organization, it's scary. I remember the first day of high school being terrified because it was a new building and I didn't know where I was going. And it was just intimidating. I remember, you know, the first day of college going off on my own and being out there by myself and just being really scared and feeling lonely. and being intimidated by that situation and that new circumstance. That's the exact same kind of feeling you have when you come into Maplewood for the first time if you're a new person seeking Jesus. And you can either be a part of the intimidation and the fear, or you can be a part of the advocacy and the sponsorship of people who are coming in and who are trying to find Jesus in the midst of all of this stuff. Saul needed spiritual nurturing in the midst of all of this stuff. Barnabas, think about Barnabas. Wow. He had to have the courage to get over his own misgivings about Saul. He had to have the courage himself to personally forgive Saul of the crimes, sins against the church that he had committed. And then he had to have even more courage to stand up with Saul and put his arm around him and say, I'm on this guy's side. I know the rest of you are having a hard time with him, but I'm on this guy's side. Talk about the work of the Holy Spirit working in somebody's life. The work of the Holy Spirit working through Barnabas in this picture. Barnabas believed in God, but Barnabas believed in Saul. And every new believer needs somebody to believe in them, to help nurture them, encourage them, and carry them along. Let me ask you this question this morning. So we're coming close here. Who's the Barnabas in your life? Because I bet you we could go through every single person who's been on a faith journey for many years, and every single one of you can say, this person or that person was the Barnabas for me. When I was a new Christian, they came alongside, they nurtured me, they advocated for me, they showed me the way. They showed me, they answered my questions. They invited me into their home. They invited me to participate with them at church functions and church events. I felt like I became part of their circle within the church family. I felt welcome. I felt included. I felt like I was a part because that person was Barnabas in my life. Who is that person that came alongside you as you were getting to know Jesus? Who brought you in? Who made you feel welcome? Who broke down the barriers for you so that you could move forward and get closer to Jesus and make that stronger connection with Jesus? Even more importantly for you, as you're reflecting on who is your Barnabas, who has God called you to be Barnabas for? Maybe they're not even in this church. Maybe there's somebody out there that's on this faith walk. Who is God calling you to be Barnabas for out there today? Who has God called you to help somebody overcome barriers so that they can get to know Jesus in your life? Because folks, if we're walking this walk with Jesus and we're healthy and we're growing spiritually, we should all be a Barnabas to somebody right now. You can't go along in your spiritual walk with Jesus and just be all consume, 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 and no give, give, give. Who has God put in your life to influence, to advocate for on behalf of the kingdom? Who is God calling you to this morning? Are we open? Are we open to allowing God to put someone on our heart? Boy, is that part of our prayer every day? Is that something you pray every day in your prayers? Father, burden my heart with the soul you need me to help advocate for. Put a burden on my heart for that person who's seeking for a relationship with Jesus. Maybe I don't even know what's going on in their life. But Lord, I pray that you would allow my life to intersect with their life. And I pray that you would open my eyes to the spiritual need and have the courage to jump in and be a Barnabas for that individual. Is that part of our prayer life? Are we open to allowing God to put someone on our heart? Someone who might be out on the margin. They're at risk. They're asking questions. They're seeking. Who's God calling us to be Barnabas to? Are we open to that? Or are we guilty? See, because it's an either or this morning. We're either open to God using us to be a Barnabas, and there's no fence sitting here. You're either open to allowing God to use you that way in your life, or you're one of those people setting unrealistic expectations for people who are trying to get to Jesus. Either or, where are we at in our walk with the Lord? I think it's a good time on a day like this, when we're thinking about this message, am I the barrier? It's the question we want to ask. Wow. You know, why can we come to the Father and can we just in prayer ask him, am I the barrier? Father, am I the barrier? Am I the obstacle that has kept someone from getting closer to Jesus because of my unrealistic expectations? Am I the obstacle that's keeping somebody from getting closer to Jesus because of my judgmental attitude that I don't even realize I have, but it's coming out of me in every word that I speak and every piece of verbal language that I send out? Am I being the obstacle because of my unforgiving spirit, like those people in the church had back then against Saul? You know, a lot of the times I'm in a hurry to get someplace, and this is always inevitable, but you're in a hurry, you're in the car, you're driving down the street, and you're doing the speed limit, but you got to get to where you're going because you left on time, you gave yourself plenty of time to get there, and you're driving down the road, and there's a railroad track ahead, and you see the lights flash, and you see the arms start to flash, and then the arms start to come down, and you're like, no! We've all been there, right? And you sit there and you know it's really bad when you have to put the car in park. Amen? And you know, it's one of those kind of trains. You got to put the car in park because it's going to be a little while. Up in Marysville, there's a real debate right now because CSX has trains running through. I got to the tracks 2 weeks ago coming home from work, and I wanted to get home, and the train was on the tracks, and it wasn't like going 25, 35 miles an hour. It was going like 4 miles an hour. And it was like 150 cars long too. So I was able to read like every bit of graffiti on every car that came by. I was so frustrated because that train had become a barrier that had been put in front of me to get to my destination. And it would be tragic, folks, if in this metaphor, we become the flashing lights and the arms coming down when people are trying to get to Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
If we're really going to be into this, getting to know, you know, learning to love God and learning to love others, part of that is really being open and being honest and allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts and show us where we might be the arms coming down with the lights flashing and becoming an obstacle to other people. We may be the barrier and we don't even know it. We're not even aware of it. And as I read this passage this week, as I read the story of these barriers and of Barnabas, it just came to me, wow, what an opportunity for us to just kind of stop and evaluate our role in this mission of the church. Am I a Barnabas? Or am I a barrier to people who are trying to get closer to Jesus? Am I a Barnabas or am I a barrier? Let's stand this morning. We're going to pray together. I just think that, you know, this is like one of those moments where we just want to allow the Holy Spirit to examine our hearts as we pray together this morning. I'm going to pray with you. You pray with me. Let's just bow our heads and close our eyes. And pray to our Father in heaven. Father, I just pray this morning that you would open the eyes of our hearts. I pray that you would help us embrace our role as advocates for those who are seeking to get closer to Jesus. Lord, we want to be part of the solution. We want to be part of the solution, not part of the problem this morning. We want to be the helping hand. We don't want to be the obstacle. We don't want to be the barrier. I pray this, Father, this morning as you're examining our hearts and our minds, as you challenge us with this truth from your word today, am I a barrier or am I Barnabas? Father, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would look into our hearts and minds, cleanse us of any judgmental attitudes that we may be identifying this morning. Cleanse us of any unforgiving spirit that we might have. Father, give us the strength and the power in your Holy Spirit to forgive as you have forgiven, as you have forgiven us. Lord, cleanse us of our unrealistic expectations of people who are on this journey, learning more about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Lord, that's what we want this morning. Father, we pray that you would give us the heart of Jesus. Give us the eyes of Jesus for those who are trying to make a change and get closer to you. Transform our hearts, transform our souls, transform our minds so that we can start looking at the big picture and realizing that we have opportunities all over the place to be Barnabas rather than be a barrier. Father, I pray that you would make each and every one of us this morning a catalyst of discipleship for people who are trying to walk in a deeper relationship with you. We may feel inadequate, Lord. We may feel unequipped, but Lord, you are the one. You call us and you equip us to do what you call us to do. Help us to trust you in that this morning. Help us to see the spiritual need around us, Father. Help us not to be callous. Help us, Father, to not be sucked into apathy. Help us to embrace your calling on our lives, to be a Barnabas, to be a friend to those who are seeking Christ. Help us to see the world in a new way this morning, Father, as we seek to yield our lives to you and obey you in loving others and being a part of the building of your kingdom. Father, we want to be Barnabas. We don't want to be a barrier. And we can only do that with your help through the power of your Holy Spirit. We yield ourselves this morning to you, Lord. We pray that you would take control. And Father, I just pray that you would let this message percolate in our hearts and minds as we walk out of here. I pray, Father, that you would help us to see opportunity to draw people closer to you. Even today, this afternoon, as we walk out of this place. Change our hearts and minds and let us resolve to be Barnabas and not be a barrier. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.